You've got to search for those moments which are inspirational. I mean, if you have writer's block, I think sometimes the best thing to do is actually just sit and watch one program after another, and believe you me, after watching inspiring work, something triggers something inside of you as well.
The wheel starts spinning, right?
You're literally oiling the wheel because it stopped turning. And then by watching, and it's like you can feel that kind of like breakthrough, and then the clogs start turning, and then you start thinking about ideas. But I think the most inspirational thing is living by what you see, what you observe for comedy, what you observe for films, what you observe for characters.
Sal Yusuf is an actor, a voiceover artist, and a stand-up comic. And he's also a good friend too. You might know him from movies like Tiger Zinda Hai, French Biryani, or some Malayalam super hits like Take Off and Eobinde Pustakam. This time I got it right. And I say this time because this is part 2 of my conversation with Sal. So if you haven't checked out part 1, I would highly go recommend checking that one out first before you proceed to this one, because this episode's going nowhere. So I'll maybe leave a link to part 1 somewhere here. If you're listening to this over audio, then just check it out in the description. I'll leave a link to it there too. Just like part 1, this one's a super intriguing one with a good balance of laughs as well as some hard-hitting topics. So in this one, we talk about how success doesn't get you happiness, but instead happiness gets you success. We talk a whole lot about success and the pursuit of success in this episode. We also continue with our conversation around the law of attraction and how Sal was able to manifest a whole lot of things in his life. So I'm a newbie to manifestation and I don't really know if I believe in it. And yeah, I've been listening to a lot of people talking about this recently. And Sal was one such person who spoke about this very, very strongly. And this was basically in some of my previous conversations with him. And then that's when I realized I should have him on the show to talk about this as well. So yeah, we go into a lot of depth when it comes to manifestation. So stick around for that. And yeah, like I said, there are a bunch of laughs and funny moments in this episode. And some places where we really go off the rails. I think the last episode ended with a really weird voiceover bit. But yeah, there are quite a few of those moments in this episode as well. But I'm hoping that the highlight or the key takeaways from the episode still are intact, which I personally felt it was, and that's why I'm publishing it. So yeah, let me know what you think once you do consume or watch or listen to this episode. Yeah, I guess that's it. There's not much I'd like to talk about before we get into the episode, I think. Is that it? Yeah, I don't have anything else here. Yeah, if you want to sign up for my newsletter, I'll talk more about that later in the episode. But yeah, you can head on down to akashdamodaran.com and sign up. Let's not delay things. Let's just get right into it. This is part 2 of my conversation with Sal Yusuf. This is Against the Odds, and I'm your host, Akash Damodaran. This show is all about inspiring people to take the unconventional path and lead a life that is truly fulfilling and rewarding. Watch and listen as talented individuals take us through their learnings, the challenges they face, and how they continuously adapt to overcome them.
So in the next film that you got me to do, I was playing Karl Marx in the film called CIA, which is Comrade in America. And then, yeah. So it's like, oh yeah, you get free lines in this one, but now you have to speak in Malayalam.
Yeah.
Which is like, oh my God, it's incredibly beautiful sounding language, but incredibly difficult language. I don't know. I think people who can, Malayali speakers can speak any language in the world because there is no sound that Malayalis have not used in their language. No sound. No sound in the
I can kind of attest to that.
Yeah, you can speak any language because it's like, oh, that sounds not unfamiliar to us. What? Yeah. It's not unfamiliar to you. You've got all the Arabic would be easy.
Easy, yeah.
Which is probably why. I didn't say that.
Yes, you did. Yes,
I didn't say. I didn't
yes,
say the
did.
Homeland.
You can't put everything on me, Sal.
No, yeah, you said the homeland is Dubai, didn't you? Yeah, you did. I know you did. It's Dubai. Dubai is the homeland.
It's like yeah. a spaceship.
Yeah, where,
it's like
where,
landed.
So, where did you grow up? Where did you grow up?
I grew up here, but probably even a little bit of my life in Dubai.
Yeah, exactly. Every Malayali I've ever met, it's like they have spent time in Dubai. It's like, you know, I don't know. It's incredible.
About contributing to that economy. Anyway.
No, and so, everything. You know, yeah. bringing it back. Yeah, my yeah. God, Kerala is wealthy and beautiful as well. I love Kerala. I've seen so much Masala myself there. But anyway, so I play Karl Marx and I have to speak in Malayalam. And it's a difficult language. And I have there's a method to the madness of how I learn. I've taught myself how to do this. I take every word and then I get the pronunciation of the word, understand the meaning of that word. And then I put it together because, you know, it's all jumbled up. Grammatically, it's jumbled up. But because I can speak Turkish, I understand the differences. Like, you know, in Hindi, he is at the end of the sentence.
Right.
And that's is. So it's like we would say, okula gidiyorum, which means I am school, I am going.
Got it.
So it's not unfamiliar for me to, and I can speak it fluently where I don't even have to think about.
Yeah, English is a little, yeah.
English is, no, yeah, it's grammatically set.
Correct. The structure is very different.
You can't, I mean, like, for instance, you can give me all the Malayalam words, but if I said it as I would in English, it'd be like, what the hell is this like? What is this guy saying?
Yeah.
What is he saying? It doesn't make any sense. So to break that down and then to give it expression as well, I cracked it. You know, I want to be true to the language. Now, I knew I was going to be dubbed anyway, so watch it. Watch CIA, actually, yeah, watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you spot Karl Marx, that was me with a, you know, extended beard and like hair that doesn't belong to me. and then he got me to stuff cotton balls in my mouth as well up here.
Oh, really?
Because I wasn't looking quite like Karl Marx. And then it's like, oh, great. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I've learned all these Malayali lines. It's hard enough speaking Malayalam.
I've got cotton.
And now I've got cotton balls. How can anyone understand what I'm saying? But it worked. It worked.
Yeah.
Because the expression was there and it was easy for the dubbing artist. But okay, so that one thing, that film led to CIA. So they recognized my talent. Basically, is what they did. And then I did a commercial with Anwar Rashid as well. And then I ended up in the film Trance as well. Yeah. I had an acceptance speech for the award that I didn't win. Which I'll probably squeeze in here. So,
oh man.
So yeah, but so sometimes manifestation doesn't always work, you know. Yeah. So I wrote down the acceptance speech for this award, and it didn't happen. But that's okay, maybe I'll use it. So I'll use it now.
Yeah, I know.
It
came handy, right?
It comes in handy. I mean, I'll tell you what I was gonna say. You know, but
this is awesome.
But there's no hard cheese, no. Yeah. There's no sour grapes. I'm fine with this. It's okay, I can use it for another time.
Yeah.
But oh god, now I've lost my course. Yeah. So I'll mention Trance later on. This is what I was going to write in my speech. I wanted to thank the Malayali industry. I really do want to thank the Malayalam industry because the concepts are incredible. The performances are incredible. The actors, like Fahad Faisal, is somewhere else. You know, I watched the film Joji, which is...
It's incredible, right?
You see, yeah, what a film, though. What a performance. And is it Mejbur? Mejbur? Where they took... Was it Othello?
I forget. Malik.
It was Haider as well.
Oh, yeah. Haider.
And then Mejbur? I don't know. It was a film with Nasruddin Shah and Irfan Khan.
Okay.
And I think it was based on...
Hamlet.
Yeah, based on Hamlet.
I mean, all of these are basically Hamlet inspirations.
Amazing,
right?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
But what I find amazing is the fact that, like with Joji, for instance, that's Macbeth.
Yeah.
And they made it contemporary.
Yeah. Ridiculously contemporary. Malayalam contemporary.
But a story that fits.
Yeah.
And a story that works. And with performances like that, it's like, wow, you know, that's why I love working in the Malayalam industry, because they're ahead of everyone else.
Dude, they're just like six actors in the entire movie. That's it. That's it. And look at what they're doing with that.
Great. All performances. Yeah. All of the performances were just
stunning. Nothing looked out of place. Yeah.
Nothing. You know, there's films that I love. Like, if you ever want to watch a classical American film, is One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah.
What? Everyone in that film is impeccable. Even the extras.
Yeah, yeah.
You're convinced by it because everyone is on the same page. Just incredible. And you will see people on there and you will not believe, like Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
For one, like, just incredible. Jack Nicholson, for me, one of his best performances.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm talking about the same league. And I felt honored working with these actors. So I already felt my career kind of took off like a Bezos rocket.
That is super contemporary.
Yeah, that sent me into, you know, into the you know...
The next sphere.
Into another sphere, yeah. You know, and where I could see, you know, Fahad Faisal, like, you know, literally on the outer limits, and that was a trance. So, that's not the way it's supposed to come out. You know.
Literally.
But, you know, but then, yeah, but so my career took off with the Takeoff.
Literally. Wow, now it's... I like it, Sal. That's kick ass.
See, that's where I wanted to tie in.
The smooth segue.
And, you know, in terms of attraction as well, what you're doing is you're attracting attention. So law of attraction is attracting attention to yourself as well. While I was doing Takeoff, I was auditioning for this film called Tigers in There. Can you believe that? So I'm in the Middle East and I'm doing auditions while I'm in my hotel room. So it's giving me enough time to do auditions. But you know what they did? They didn't give me the full... They didn't tell me what the story was about. They gave me the end of Apocalypse Now. And they said, can you do this? So I did. I did it as the character. They gave me a picture. They said, this is the character we're looking for. And I did it. But no one told me what the script was until I got there. And then I figured, this is the Bollywood version of Takeoff.
Takeoff.
So, but I know where it comes. I mean, I'm assuming. I'm second guessing.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone on the set of Takeoff said, hey, look, there's this guy. He's not bad. He's really good. Why don't you give him a call? So, you know, I got a call out of the blue from Yash Raj. And I'm thinking, where the hell did I get my number from? And then don't get me wrong, the experiences were amazing. Both two different, you know, one low budget, one high budget.
Yeah.
Each of them... with their own merit.
Mm.
Yeah.
And space
as well, yeah. You know. I mean, I think Tigers in the Hill is actually a very entertaining film, and I got to work with Paresh Rawal, which is like, wow, you know, just like, oh, like in that league. But I see the same league as, you know, working with these Malayali actors as well, you know. In Takeoff, there was Parvati Menon and Kunjagan Bobin.
Yeah.
And Atif,
I
was going to say Atif Aslam.
No, it's not Atif.
Atif Aslam was the voice of the video that I was in for Tigers in Here, playing this guy, Baghdawi. So there's a video out there and you watch it. That's his Asif Ali.
Right.
See, yeah. And Prakash Balawadi's in there and Fahad Faisal's in there. You see, and like impeccable actors. Great actors. And if you're on, watch it. It's definitely a good watch. It's a good film.
Oh, it is. So my wife and I got, I think, so my parents are very heavily into movies.
Ah.
So, and I think there's something to how Malayalis consume cinema. Because that's a big, and I don't know if I've spoken about this on the show before, but it's ingrained in the culture for some reason. So if you go to Kerala and you ask around, most of them would have caught the movie in the first 4 days itself.
Oh, really?
It's a big deal. And that's like a very, and I think it's far more affordable, or used to be far more affordable back then. It was just a way of life. And I think there is something to that. And that's why I think they have, I don't want to say perfected, but I personally feel there are these certain pockets of cinema, you know, industries across India, It's even part of the Bengali film industry. Mm-hmm. Part of the, there's even the Northeast. There's like a part, I think the Assamese, if I'm not wrong. These guys have, you know, they're doing scripts and writing scripts that are really, really far ahead. Like that can really compete with, you know, like movies abroad. And yeah. you don't see that a lot with a lot of these mainstream commercial movies, because it's all numbers at the end of the day, right? It's about which star can you get on the on the list of your crew or cast, right? And that kind of, you know, has its own way of pulling weight and all of that. I get that, but then with what Malayalam movies are doing, I see some of these, like you said, small budget movies, and I'm like, man, it's like the script's incredible.
That's really what it is.
Yeah, it is.
But I think really what it is because you're great storytellers. Mm-hmm. You're great storytellers, and the realism in the acting as well.
Yeah,
that's really what it is.
It's ridiculously natural, right?
Isn't it? It really is. I think it just it literally comes straight from the heart. But I'm seeing that. You see, the other thing as well is like what I feel is the essence, you know. And my advice to anyone really who's serious about acting is get into theatre first.
Yeah.
That's the grassroots.
You said Prakash Balwadi. I mean, that's like, he's like a veteran, right?
Yeah, he's my mentor. I've been in, he's directed me in 4 of his plays, basically. And I love his style of directing. But it doesn't stop me from working with other directors as well.
Yeah.
You know, every director you work with warrants...
Yeah.
An adaptation from on your part.
Correct.
Because there's no one rule book for directing. Every director is different.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to you as an actor to adapt and adopt their method of direction.
Yeah.
Some directors will just sit back and say, you know, just there's the frame, just do it.
Yeah.
Others will actually, you know, I like it when a director basically says, stops me and says, mate, man, not like that, Sal. Yeah, actually, don't do that. Why don't you try this instead? It's like, oh yeah, that's a great idea. So you're collaborating. But then the other directors will just sit back and say, because when I step on set, you have to be an intelligent actor. I have to say, you have to have an ounce of intelligence. Intelligent actors are the ones that go far.
I think also intrigued actors or intrigued. Yeah, yeah. And these things that you're talking about doesn't necessarily only apply to acting. All of the people who are curious, right, are the ones who can transcend anything, right? And there is obviously, you could be born with, some level of talent or some level of skill. But at the end of the day, it's about how much you grind, how much work you put in, and how much time and effort you're taking into studying the craft, right?
That's knowledge.
Right.
But what's most important is wisdom. Einstein said it.
Right.
It's wisdom. It's learning... It's thinking laterally, because, you know, I mean, books don't teach you everything. You yourself have to like learn it as you go along, you know, I mean,
implemented.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think of, you know, when I talk about being instinctive, it's instinctive for us to get up and walk, instinctive for us to talk, instinctive for us to eat. You know, I mean, this is something that there are, I mean, like you look at the animal kingdom, it's like they do things instinctively. You know, they know it's something which is ingrained in us as well. All you need to do is understand it and implement it, basically, is what it is. So a lot of things are instinctive, which is why, you know, sometimes you see a great sports person or a great actor and you say, oh, that person's a natural.
Mm.
That's because it's something which is very inert.
Yeah,
that then comes out of them as well. You know, you look at some of the greatest footballers in the world and you think, how I can kick a ball? You know, like, oh, I wanted to learn how to play snooker properly so I could. Yeah, hours and hours of practice. But they had the aptitude to do it from the offset.
Mm-hmm.
So then it was easier for them. So they were ahead of everyone else, basically, yeah, is what it is. So, you know, that's how you kind of grow and that's how you evolve as well. So knowledge is important. But I think more than knowledge is wisdom.
Yeah, and even acting on it, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Putting it into use.
Yeah, when I say wisdom...
Practical sense.
Yeah, in terms of method acting, if you haven't lived, how can you relive that experience on set or on stage?
Mm.
If you've never been heartbroken, how do you play a heartbroken person in a film if you've never been heartbroken?
Mm.
Yeah, how can you play a person who's never experienced the loss of someone else, you know, in a physical sense? Because what I do as a method actor is to trigger that moment, to play that part, is I recollect a moment. And then I remember how I felt in that moment. And then I take that feeling and then I apply that feeling to the character I'm playing. And that's why it looks real.
Mm.
That's why it looks real. Because right. I'm applying that method.
Right.
You know? It's like now, it's like just even the thought of that makes me kind of, you know, when you kind of get the jitterbugs and,
yeah.
you know, when you feel fear, it's like, you know, like, okay, now here you have to be, you're like, you know, you're encased and there's no light and you're feeling fear. But how do I do that easy? Think of a moment in your life where you were actually panicking, where you were in fear. What was happening to you in that point? Your blood was boiling, your blood was racing, your heartbeat was pumping, you know, it was faster than normal. Yeah, and you could feel the blood rushing to your head. So when you feel that, then apply that to that fear, and then it works. That's a simple lesson, by the way.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you've got to learn how to apply it. That's the thing. Where was I? I don't know where I was. I'm completely lost. You know, I just sent myself into a maze now. I've just been going around and around in circles. No, but everything is relevant. Everything is relative.
For sure.
You know, what I would say to you, whatever you do in your life where you think, oh, this is just a waste of time. Why did I do that? It's not a waste of time. It always comes back to you in a different form.
Correct.
Let me give you an example of Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs. He studied calligraphy. For what joy? He studied calligraphy. But the font in Apple was the one thing that sold it. Wasn't it?
And also, I think it's the creative and design aspect of it that still...
He didn't know it at the time, but he knew fonts were one of the biggest selling points of Apple Macintosh. So there you go. It's like, you know, you might think it's a waste, you know? All of these little things that I've done, it's like, oh, wow, it's come back to me. I've done stuff in animation. I did voiceovers for animation. I went to art college myself. As a child, I used to draw cartoons. So I'd always had a vested interest in it, you know? I used to, like, act out in front of the mirror as well. I used to do lots of mime. Okay, I'm going to let this secret out. I don't even give a shit. It's okay. Anyway, so what I used to do is I used to have my own football team.
Okay.
Okay, my football team was Cyprus. And each player had a name. And everyone played in a different style. So I'd be in a very narrow hallway at home. I'd be like, ah. And I would head at the ball. And that ball would travel. And then, like, the goalkeeper would not quite reach it. And then, Cyprus 2, England 0. So I would keep doing that, but you know, I kept playing that game, and my God, you see how, like, you know, in the future, it's like, wow, that's me practicing mime without even realizing it. I'm creating imaginary characters. I'm walking and talking in slow motion, doing photo finish shot. And it comes back, and it's like, oh, wow, now I'm doing this, but I'm doing it in a different form. The form I'm doing it in now is far more sophisticated. And I know, in terms of manifestation, I'm manifesting something which is bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Because you can't get any worse. You can only get better.
Right.
Yeah? You can't get any worse. You, in the next 5 years, could be hosting a talk show like Graham Norton. You don't know.
Yeah, you see, you laugh.
I
remember.
You see, you laugh.
I laugh. No.
Not gonna happen. No. I'm happy being here, sitting at this table here, interviewing people like you. Yeah, but when in 5 years' time, you might actually be saying, shit, look, wow, Salim, I interviewed
right.
Sal.
Salim was
there
right.
He is, he's holding like an Oscar. Yeah. For what? Yeah. I don't know. See, this is the point, isn't it? I could potentially be holding an Oscar. I don't know what for.
Yeah.
But I could be.
Okay, guys, taking a small break from the conversation to talk about our collaborations and partnerships. So first and foremost, I'd like to talk about our collaboration with Hubhopper. So for people who don't know what Hubhopper is, it's a podcast providing platform, a hosting provider platform, where if you don't know where to host your show, or if you're unsure of where to get started with creating audio podcasts, then Hubhopper Studio is the way to go. If you wish to start your own podcast for free, then you can visit hubhopperstudio.com. Hubhopper is one of India's leading podcast creation platform. Start your podcast with Hubhopper Studio and get your voice heard across platforms like Spotify, Gaana, Google Podcasts, Wink Music, and more. Click on the link in the episode description or visit hubhopperstudio.com. I'd like to also take this opportunity to talk about Sennheiser, who is our audio partner for Against the Odds. This is something I thought would not happen well at least not so early on in our journey, but I'm glad it's finally happening. So for people who don't know, Sennheiser is obviously one of the leading audio brands and audio providers in the world, from some of the best professional audio equipment like headphones, microphones. In this case, some of the microphones we are using here for our podcast as well. So currently I'm using the MK8 condenser microphone, and I think we have the MK4 as well here. These are two mics, again, at different budget points or different price points, which, again, depending on what your budget's going to be, it's going to fit your use for sure, because the kind of technology that's used in these mics are just incredible. I'm sure you can, you know, hear it yourself right now. So if you want to really take your game up to the next level, or if in case you don't know where to get started with purchasing a microphone, then might I recommend the MK8 or the MK4 from Sennheiser. Also, this episode is recorded and shot at our community partner, location partner, Open Jam Studios. So I'm coming to you from Open Jam Studios, based out of Church Street in Bangalore. So for people who don't know where to get started with creating content, or if in case you don't have the equipment to create content, or maybe you just need a nice professional workspace or studio to get started, then might I recommend Open Jam Studios. I think the process of finding this place itself was a big, big boon for us. The fact that we took a break during that second wave got us to really rethink our previous studio, and it opened up a whole bunch of array of options when it comes to studios. And well, Open Jam turned out to be the best pick out of the lot. So if you'd like to record your show, come on down here. They've got all the equipment on board, and you just have to come on there, pay for the space, and get going. It's as simple as that. So I'll leave a link to Open Jam Studios' website in the description below for anyone who wants to check it out. Cheers. I was asking you, have you read the book The War of Art?
Who?
The War of Art.
The Wall or The War?
War.
No. But I think I should read it.
Yeah, you should. It's... and I talked to my wife about this a whole lot. It's for majorly for directed at creatives, anyone who's in the creative field.
Uh-huh.
It's by Stephen Pressfield. And the book talks about... There's so many things the book talks about. And I think the biggest takeaway is that anything and everything that you want to do that's important in life, there is resistance, especially in your mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, so you need to sit down and do the work. Well, there's a resistance. But one thing that I think stands out with what you were saying now is he talks about how there's your current life and the life you can potentially live.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and he doesn't talk heavily around manifestation and the law of attraction as such. But then again, if you think about it, it's all kind of interweaved, right? you can see yourself doing something else. Let's say, for instance, you want to be an actor, like, and you're talking about you maybe collecting your award on stage.
Yeah, because you laughed about how you could possibly, where you could possibly in the future.
I chuckled.
Go
because,
back on that now. Yeah, you have to go back on that.
No.
Go on. You have to go back on that.
So I'm trying to tell you why I chuckled.
Yeah, why did you chuckle?
I chuckled because it reminded me of the time you told me this on the phone. And then I chuckled then too, remember? And I was like, how stupid was I?
So that's a double chuckle.
Yeah, double chuckle. Yeah, what? No, but you told me that and I was like, the laugh or the chuckle was more like, oh, please, Sal, come on. You know, that kind
exactly.
of reaction.
That's why I took it as that.
Yeah, I get that.
And now?
I was thinking,
what does the chuckle mean now?
Sure, I mean, who knows what this might lead to? And I'm definitely open to it, right? Yeah. The thing is, there's no point resisting it.
No.
Yeah,
but you can't force it.
Yeah, correct.
Because that's forcing resistance as well. Right. Because the more you want something, the more it doesn't happen.
Right.
But if you just allow it, if you lay down your foundations, which is what you've done, which is what I've done, which is what we all do, once you've laid down your foundations, then it will start coming.
Yeah.
It's like building a channel for a stream, which then will turn into a river, which will then turn into a lake. You know, but as long as you start that channel flowing,
yeah,
you don't know where it's going to lead to.
And I think it's very important to complement that with the actual work, right? Because like you said, you can't sit like a couch potato and just like expect it to all come to you, right? I think it's this part is important, but what's important is the other bit where you're investing time, effort, money, all of it, sweat, blood, tears into that, into the craft and trying to get to that. Another thing that kind of stood out, what you were saying is, you know, even in the journey of, you know, you're climbing the mountain or, you know, all of that, if it's a struggle and you're not enjoying it,
then you're
probably on the wrong mountain.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you can't just plow through anything, right?
You know, I wholeheartedly agree with you because, you know, some people are disillusioned or delusional.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they are knocking on the wrong door, basically. There are so many opportunities for them, but they're so fixated on that one door, which they're forcing. They're trying to force that door open, and it's not opening. Well, look, if the door, like you say, if the door's not opening, then go and find another door.
Yeah.
Something which you can open with ease, where you have the key for it.
Correct.
We don't have the keys for all the locks.
Correct.
Yeah. It's as simple.
Or enjoy the process of opening the damn door.
Yeah. If you love it, then it's like, oh, wow. Like, oh.
Yeah.
Treasure. Oh, there's another door.
Yeah.
Ah. Oh, but there's a window.
But that's the thing. It's how you react to that next door. Exactly. Right? Because even with this whole climbing and, you know, you going through the journey, right? I mean, it's a journey. It doesn't end at any point. Because even, let's assume, I mean, and I hope you do win an Oscar. It doesn't end there, right? Because that's just the beginning of the next bit. That's the way I see it.
Shall I tell you where I want to go? See, I wanted to be in a feature film. I want to direct films. I want to direct films. But now I'm actually thinking of directing a play to set myself up for that.
Right.
I have done some short films, but I'm not satisfied with that. It's okay. It's fine. I mean, I'm not saying there are failures, but I know I can do better. If I had a better budget, you know, I just need to simple. What I believe that I needed to do was to get into a film. I needed to be in a number of films.
Hmm.
I needed to start building a reputation for myself to get noticed. And so working with someone like Danish Syed in the improv, you know, and we had really good chemistry together as well. When the film French Biryani came up and they were looking for a character to play the foreigner, he said, Sal. And then he called me and he said, Sal, there's a part. So Danish actually got me onto that film. And then I met Panagar. Panagar had never heard of me or seen me before. Danish was only known by Panagar's wife. And then it kind of came together. And then this amazing cast came together. And then it became one of the most watched films on Amazon. French Biryani was watched kind of the film of 2020 on Amazon. So now I get stopped on the street by people. Yeah.
You told me that day.
Yeah, because you know that I get stopped on the street because I can see them smiling behind the masks. Yeah, they're like this. You see, they're like that. And they recognize me.
Yeah,
they recognize me, and I know that that film in this kind of time of like despair and despondency and you know, fear and whatever, you know, negative emotions is thrown at people during that lockdown. For me, it was the opposite. It was a time of me to find myself and to manifest things for myself, you know, to like think of like, where do I want to go from here? Because this is great. This is like, this film is like, you know, that's what I wanted. I wanted a film that was going to get me known in a region. And it did. So I get stopped maybe like once or twice a day for like selfies. And there are people who, they look at you, but they're afraid to ask. And so you want to take a picture. Like, because I know it's putting a smile on their face as well. And when they see me, it's like, it's a kind of recollection of watching the film. It's like, it reminds them of the laughter they had in a grave period of time, you know, where they can finally, they can actually feel, you know, they feel good because they laughed. And we gave that to them, you know. I mean, that's like, you know, as far as I'm saying, that's a good job.
For sure.
That's a job well done.
No, this whole being happy, and we spoke about that in the last four shoot that we had, right? Where I think success doesn't get you happiness. Happiness gets you success.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah,
It's and a lot of people get that confused.
They do.
Right? But the moment you are constantly happy, and this trickles down into everything, right? In terms of your journey, in terms of your craft, in terms of your relationships, everything, automatically you're attracting, and goes back to that, the law of attraction itself.
Absolutely. Right? And there's a, you know, and there are, like, we'll all experience these times, these periods of like, you know, the writer's block, you know, like feeling so uninspired and not knowing how the, you know, like people, you know, there are, we do have moments where we hit that cloud of depression. You know, it's the weather, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It is. It's the weather.
It's all seasonal.
It's seasonal, isn't it? I mean, you know, I mean, with some people, it could be like dark the whole year. But you know what you got to search for? You got to search for those moments which are inspirational. I mean, if you have writer's block, I think sometimes the best thing to do is actually just sit and watch one program after another, and believe you me, after watching inspiring work, something triggers something inside of you as well.
Yeah.
Yeah?
The wheel starts something, spinning, right?
Yeah. And then you're literally oiling the wheel because it stopped turning. And then by watching, and it's like you can feel that kind of like breakthrough, and then the clogs start turning, and then you start thinking about ideas. But I think the most inspirational thing is living. By what you see, what you observe for comedy, what you observe for films, what you observe for characters, you know? Yeah. I mean, I've seen some characters in this country. I've seen characters everywhere. And I've absorbed those characters, and I can regurgitate those characters. So I'm actually happy that I've been anonymous for like almost like 45 years. Because I've experienced life in a different, I've experienced life as an ordinary person, so to speak. But my God, those experiences I can tap into.
Yeah, and I think that relatability factor is what, you know, will set you apart.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, you know, like I there are lots of gestures that I've seen people do, you know, in this country as well. So, and I found myself like, oh, well, you know, I can be, you know, relatable to these gestures, you know. I was accused of being racist for doing this, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But that's Turkish.
Yeah, that's not Indian.
That's not Indian.
Oh man,
that's Indian.
That's universal.
Well, that's South Indian.
Yeah.
So you know, you pick up these gestures, and the same way that I picked up enough Kannada to get by, basically, is what I can't have a conversation in Kannada. I don't pretend to have a conversation, but people think I can speak Kannada because I can speak in sentences. I actually, whatever I need to ask for and whatever, I can do it in Kannada, and that's enough for them to be like really impressed. But I think, you know, making an effort to absorb a culture, I think that's really important. I mean, I think I'm not going to say it's shameless. This is just down to me. I mean, I've learned as much as I can. I want to learn about the place I'm living in. You know, I mean, I'm not, you see, that's the thing. People look at me and they say, oh, he's a foreigner and he lives in a compound. Yeah. Because all foreigners live in compounds and they do not wander onto the street. What they do is they get into cabs or their own chauffeur driven cars and they're driven to offices. No, but this guy here basically has lived in the community. I've lived in like, you know, okay, I lived in a place called Coxtown. So it's kind of made up of mainly Malayalis, and, you know. So what you hear, you don't hear any Kannada being spoken. So I think making that shift and living in Kumara Park in Malaysia, that area where it's mainly
Kannada, that's literally kind of diving deep into
You're literally forced to speak Kannada.
Yeah, yeah.
If you want to get things done, then you've got to learn enough.
But that's very interesting, Sal, that I think this whole curiosity that we spoke about, right?
Yeah.
It comes down to all of these things, right? So if you're curious about the place and it kind of motivates you, it kind of inspires you, lights, you know, like some sort of fire in you, right? And you want to do this because a lot of people are like, why do I need to do this? Like, for instance, with what you did, you're not from this country. You have not really done anything in acting or film as such. Literally two completely new spheres, and you come down here to explore. If you think about it, a lot of these struggling actors or a lot of these people who want to pursue the craft, or maybe, I don't know, they're starstruck and they see some of these, you know, incredibly big names and they want to be there and they want to experience it all. They're all doing very similar things, which is they travel to a foreign land. It could be within the same country or whatever. And also they have to pursue something that they don't have experience in. Right? But I think what will set you apart is you constantly, like I said, go back to learning the craft. And then if you're curious about certain things, it kind of spills into other things as well. So what you're talking about here is very, very interesting. I like how you made the shift from Coxtown to a place like Kumara Park.
But, you know, but you see, the thing is, life teaches you lessons. And in terms, those lessons are what you can teach others. Or lessons that you can apply to yourself as well. You see, that's the whole point. It's a circular thing. You learn, and you in the same wheel. What you're doing is okay. I'll give you an example. Like as a teacher, what I would do is like if I didn't know the subject, I would learn the subject so I could teach the subject.
Correct.
It's you know, as simple as that. You know,
it's a Feynman technique. You're basically, of course.
Of course. So if you want to learn about something, I think, you know, some of the most talented people that I've met are self-taught.
Yeah.
They're self-taught. And I think they're the ones that have advanced because of that passion, because they want to absorb that knowledge, because they want to apply that, you know, and they're so open to what they see around them as well. You know, in the same way, I mean, I want people to be inspired more by my path than by me. But, you know, I tell you, the point I'm trying to make here is the fact that, you know, a lot of people are, like you say, starstruck. They look at a person, they look at their success, but they don't know the struggle. They need to learn about how they got from A to B, how they got to that moment of success. Because if you look at some of the greatest actors in the world, their paths have been a struggle.
Hmm.
Incredible stories. Learn about their stories before you think you can rise to the top in an instant, because that's not going to happen. It's a struggle. I never got to that. I got to the point. You see, I've lived in Bangalore for 12 years, and only now have I been recognized by the Kannada industry. Do you see what I'm saying? And that's just by chance. The Malayalam industry discovered me like 7 years ago. That's why I'm thankful to them. Because they discovered me long back because of my connection.
Because you were putting yourself out there.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. Because, you know, I'm actually, in a sense, connected within the Malayalam, within Kerala.
Yeah.
So I have people who have kind of helped me up, you know. But you never forget the people who have given you a foot up. It's like recently I went and joined this production house, who were auditioning, and I just wanted to, because lockdown kind of kept us all isolated in such an I think we just exploded. We wanted to go and meet the people that we haven't literally met for years.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're talking about a period of 2 years where you've hardly seen anyone.
Yeah.
You know, and it's such a joy to meet people again.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, and to be connected to those people as well, because, you know, you might be, you know, that, okay, I'm saying that, you know, we climb the rungs of that ladder. But if you're a person who's been climbing up the ladder without any rungs, your fall will be direct. Yeah, but if you've got rungs in your ladder, then some of those rungs will break your fall before you hit the floor. So there will always be someone in the middle there that will help you climb back up again. Yeah. So it's very important to build foundations. It's very important to build those steps.
Relationships.
Absolutely. Because and never forget them and actually appreciate those people as well. Because sometimes what you do is as you climb the ladder, those people, you know, it's a boat. You know, it's a rescue ship. You get onto it and then you reach down and you rescue others, you know, you pull people aboard. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, so on your rise, those people, you know, that helped you get there. But I see those people who that I'm surrounded by actually growing themselves. I think it's a natural occurrence that's happening in the world today. I think the cream are rising. Creative people are rising to the top. You know, I think there's kind of like, you know, there's an appreciation for the work that we do now. There's more entertainment. There's OTT platforms are now craving for content. You know, I'm watching some incredible web series. Money Heist. You know, Money Heist was something that I just recently finished. The Crown. The Crown is one thing which is like, for me, a spectacle. Don't get me wrong, I've seen some, like that Marathi film, is it The Discipline or The Disciple?
Mm.
What a film. And I'm not surprised that it's been nominated for the Oscars. Joji, like I mentioned, it's like, wow, mind-blowing films. You know, so it goes to show that in India, and, you know, thank the divine or thank God for OTT platforms, because now we're discovering some great, great Indian talent who never really had the opportunity before, but now it's actually giving them opportunities. I mean, God, you know, the number of auditions that I've had lately. I've had so many auditions, and my Hindi sucks, but I can learn Hindi. I can learn Hindi. Mera naam Salim hai. Tore Hindi malam hai. Malayalam enikariyam illa. Kannada salpa parthiya. Hey, yenappa. Hey, yen nodila. Hey, yen kelisira. Hey, bara. Barale. Namma. Marthiniya. One nimsha. Okay. Amale? Yeah.
Oh my
god. Yeah.
Oh man.
See what I mean?
That's
I shocked someone today. It was like, okay, it's like, whoa, okay. It's like,
ooh,
okay.
Easy now the Hindi.
No, you know what it is, basically, because I could hear someone say, hey, humble politician and cinema, hey lesser. No. French biryani.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Nodila. Ah. They're like,
what?
This is foreigner and he's speaking Canada. It's like, yeah, but I'm not though. It's like, I know enough. Yeah.
To get by.
Yen beka? Huh? Salpa? Hey, yelledra? Yeah.
This is like an audition now.
But I've actually done a film. But I've been in a film. You might laugh. There's a film that will come out called, I don't know when it's going to come, it's called Kannada.
Oh.
Yeah, and you will actually find me speaking in Kannada in this film, but I'm speaking with, you know, with that like strong accent.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to tell you the story, but Ravichandran is the star.
Oh, okay.
And I got to work with Tom Alter's son, Jamie Alter, who's such a nice guy to work with. So, you know, we had fun. It was difficult. But what I found myself doing with that was it was just getting really difficult. It was like there was, you know, time was kind of running out. So in half an hour, I learned the lines in English, delivered the lines in English. Then someone basically dubbed Kannada over the top of that. Then I go into the studio and I kind of dubbed over that myself. Right. Which is like, oh, you know, that's it was a way of, you know, sometimes it's like, you know, even in film, it's a learning curve, not just for the director, but for you, and it comes together.
Yeah.
It really does come together. It's everything is a collaborative effort. If you allow ego, ego can destroy a project. You know, one person can bring the
and
whole,
yourself.
Absolutely. So control your ego is what I say. This is one other statement that I wanted to like make earlier. I don't know where I've heard it somewhere, but I believe it. So I'm going to make it. If it's my statement, then that's cool. Lovely. If you can dream it, you can do it. Simple.
Simple. I think that's a brilliant place to wrap this episode up.
Yeah, yeah. If you can, all right, let me say it again.
Yeah, because
I'm going to say it again.
The reason why I'm saying this is because we anyway ask of one last message from all our guests. So here you go.
The holodeck. It's become a reality to you today, though. It really is. I mean, I was kind of experiencing it recently.
Yeah.
But if you can dream it, then you can do it. Because dreams can become reality. Simple. Simple statement.
That's insane.
So do you know what? Keep dreaming. Keep dreaming. And then one day you might do it. Or else it could be a nightmare. Who knows?
What? We just like completely...
No. Listen.
Yeah.
Listen, there is no harm in being a dreamer. I was a dreamer as a kid. And I dreamt all of this. And now I'm doing it. Dreaming.
Awesome. And Sal, if you had to send people online, I think you have a website, right? So where can
you if you're curious about the kind of work that I've done, you know, because it leads you to different things as well, go to www.salyusuf.com. Or just, I don't know, just do this. Just type Sal Yusuf on Google. You'll find a Wikipedia page, an IMDb page, my website. It's like, you know, I mean, that's what I'm saying. 10 years ago, Sal Yusuf was probably a doctor in Abu Dhabi.
He still is a sad guy. Let him be, dude.
Yeah. Now Sal Yusuf is like a renowned South Indian actor. It's amazing. Oh, but maybe one day, you know, not maybe, but to become a director himself one day.
Sure. Like, I think we spoke about this last time, but the next time we have you here.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about your next set of experiences.
Well, I tell you what we could do is we could cut this, slice this up. And say, do you remember you made this statement then?
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Sal.
See, now, well, they have boosted your immune system by 20%.
Thanks for that as well. You have boosted mine by 160%.
Oh, yeah?
At least, I mean, if I can do the math. Anyway, thanks a lot, Sal.
Oh, and, thank you. It's been a pleasure. Yeah, can awesome. I have another coffee?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, this one's gone cold.
So that wraps up my conversation with Sal, my two-parter with Sal Yusuf. I'm hoping you liked it and that's why you stuck around till now. If not, then I'm really confused. If you didn't like it and you're still around, then something's off, right? Something's really weird because why would you spend like good 45 minutes, close to an hour, just listening or watching this particular episode? So I'm assuming you liked it. Well, now that you said you liked it, I think you should hit the like button right there. So yeah, hit the like button because it's a very simple thing that you can do to support our show, but goes a long, long way. It helps get the word out there and also get the episode in front of more people. So yeah, if you are watching this on YouTube, then hit the like button and also subscribe because, well, we have a whole lot of other episodes in store for you. Also, if you're listening to this over audio, then there's another thing you can do to support the show. Or maybe you are the kind of person who watches and listens to the episodes. Great. Then you can just head on to Apple Podcasts or Spotify and leave a rating and review. It'll take you only about 15 seconds, but man, it really helps with the algorithm. See, with like video content, there's a proper algorithm. There's a thumbnail. There's a title. You know, it's a very easy way to discover your content. And I think that's the biggest benefit that I've gotten from keeping the show both on video and audio. But with audio, it's very tough to identify or discover podcasts unless they're really, you know, making the rounds with, I don't know, the news or maybe word of mouth. Like, you can't really discover podcasts
the way you can with videos on YouTube. So if you're listening to this, then a simple thing you can do is just leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It gives a huge boost with the algorithm and it helps get the word out there. So yeah, your 10 seconds would mean the world to me and would get the episodes in front of more people, I guess. Yeah. And finally, yeah, I did talk about my newsletter right at the beginning of the episode. So if you like such kind of content, self-help, you want to learn, you want to improve, one-up yourself, then might I recommend you sign up for my newsletter. It's completely free. It's been slowly growing. If you would like to also be part of that base where I send out small nuggets, short reads that might get you to think and then maybe even act and, you know, get you to, I don't know, lead an intentional and purposeful life, then might I recommend signing up for my newsletter. You can go to akashdamodhan.com and sign up for the newsletter. It's completely free. I'll leave a link to it in the description too. Yeah, I guess that's pretty much it. I don't know, I was just lost in thought for a second. Anyway, thanks so much for tuning in and I'll catch you on the next one. Cheers.